Moncrief on News Talk.
You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. 087 1400 106 is our WhatsApp number. The world, of course, is in a state of chasses, but here to put it all to right, Barbara and Declan, good afternoon to you
exactly.
both.
Yeah. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay.
How's everybody?
How's everybody?
Are we all right?
I love
all
how
right?
I acted like you asked me personally that question.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, but yeah. Are we
okay.
all right?
Yeah,
it's tough in the world at the minute.
Oh, God, it is.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, I met a guy out in a bar and we got chatting. He was charming and really affectionate. We swapped numbers and agreed to go on a date the following week. He followed up and was great on tech, so I was delighted with myself. Now, online dating is a bit of a cesspit and I've been hurt before, so it was great to finally meet someone who seemed so genuine. We went for drinks and all went well. We really clicked and I was excited to see him again. I asked him for his Instagram and he seemed a bit sketchy, not saying he didn't have Instagram, just sort of saying he didn't use it much. I decided to do a bit of detective work, and after a few dates, as I was kind of came away with a bit of a feeling that not everything was adding up. Anyway, after a bit of searching, I found him online and his wife. His profile picture is their wedding day, so they're definitely still together. Not necessarily. I feel so annoyed, but also so guilty. My ex cheated on me and it broke my heart. This guy never wore a wedding ring and it made no inkling of an ex or being fresh out of a relationship. Because of what I've been through, I really want to message the wife to tell her, but my friends say just forget it.
God. I mean, her friends are right.
Yes.
Yes. Definitely just forget the whole lot. In other words, forget him, walk away, but don't text or decide to get involved and tell the wife. And I mean, we've said this before a number of times, is that you never know what's going on in somebody else's relationship.
No. Yeah.
You don't know, number one, maybe his marriage is over, although I would imagine if it was the case, he would have changed his profile picture. It wouldn't still be of his wedding day.
Well, as he said, he doesn't use it much.
Yeah.
I think it was her, the wife's profile picture is of the wedding day.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Ah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
so
I didn't get that.
She thinks she's married.
No, yeah. She says, I found him online and his wife. And his wife. Sorry, her profile picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's the one who's kind of like, oh, this is lovely. Brian's gorgeous. We had a great time. This is our wedding picture. And, you know, lovely.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I know that your instinct when you discover the kind of lying and the fact that you've been taken
a
bit of a ride,
you want to,
that you want to hit back and you want revenge. And I fully understand that. Breaking his wife's heart is not, I don't think, the way to go about that. I would bail, tell him what you think of him. I would and walk away and leave it. But I would definitely not message his wife to tell her what that's not. I don't think that's your place. And as I say, you never know what's going on in somebody else's relationship. There's always a slight possibility he's done this before. Maybe she knows. Maybe she's willing to put up with it. But I wouldn't go there. That's not your business.
It could have an open relationship. One of those things. Possibly.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't know.
But either way, I just, what do you think?
She doesn't have, she doesn't have the facts, the whole facts, which is true. I think that there's a kind of, I don't think it's necessarily about revenge. I think there's an element of like, I was hurt once by a dirty dog, so I want all of them to be labelled so people know who they are. And so there is a kind of a question to be asked, which is, if these kind of scoundrels get to, I know, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Scoundrels.
Scoundrel is a good word. Yeah. Wow. But scoundrel sounds like fun.
It does,
like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It sounds scoundrel. Like something to do with a dog.
He sounds like he has a small mustachio.
Yeah.
And
he's
he sounds
scoundrel,
like a dog.
And he orders scoundrel cocktails
dog.
And bars for you and the nice lady. what I'm suggesting, though, is that, you know, if these scoundrels go about doing their kind of, you know, taking the wedding ring off and hanging
dirty
out in bars
stuff,
and whatever, if they don't get busted, in other words, if they don't get told on, they're just free to go on and do. So I can see kind of where she's at with this. That
she's doing a service to womanhood.
That kind of thing. And you kind of go, does she have...
But is that her place?
Does she have a greater duty to society at large than she does to the fragile heart of the wife?
Yeah, I fully understand where you're coming from. But if you look at it from a different lens of... She hasn't mentioned whether he has children or not.
Mm.
But I mean, if he's married to somebody who perhaps is at home looking after the home and the children, it's not a simple case of, oh, that's it, I'm out of here, I'll see you. You know, there's a whole load of stuff all gathered
there's
up.
There's ramifications
too. Yeah, so well,
yeah,
I would just...
Everything is complicated, but what I'm saying is that just because, like, one of the first things I said was that the letter writer doesn't have all the facts.
Yeah, no,
and clearly
doesn't.
Then, the little missus at home doesn't have all the facts either. And sometimes having all the facts doesn't necessarily create, like, a solution in the end. Sometimes, you know... Living in ignorance, you know, ignorance is bliss and all that kind of stuff. I do wonder whether or not, you know, what would be the easiest way for the letter writer to get closure on the whole thing?
Well,
would it be just to slam the
box
closed?
Should she confront him then?
Away?
Should she confront him?
Yeah,
not confront the wife, but should she confront him and say, you know, I've done a bit of research. I know you're married and it looks like you're still with your wife. And is that the case? And if it is the case, you know, you are a scoundrel.
Yeah. And why didn't she?
Well, someone texted in to say the word you're trying to think of is cad.
Oh, yes.
An absolute cad.
It's a cad and a bounder.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And a bounder.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking
no,
of that.
No, but if she does that and he's lied to her so successfully already.
He'll just lie again.
He'll just lie and say, no, we're separated.
Yeah.
She just has that picture up because she won't let go, or she doesn't use Instagram much, or myriad other reasons.
So she's in a situation where she went on a couple of dates with the guy who she now, through her own, you know,
detective work,
has discovered a photograph which leads her to believe this X, Y, or Z is true about this guy. And now she's going to go after the woman to say he's a cad, scoundrel, whatever he is, instead of, and I don't get this, why she hasn't just said, what's the story? I saw, you know, an Instagram thing. I know it's a bit embarrassing, but it's not as embarrassing as you lying about having a wife and a family at home.
But I mean, you know, it would be very, well, not very easy, but surely I take with your point, Sean, that like he would continue to lie if he's already lying, if she confronts him. But I mean, you know, has she ever been to his place? Where does he live? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's all the other pointers that you can kind of go, where is your Instagram? Why don't you, you know, why did you tell me you don't have an Instagram when you do have an Instagram or whatever? And going to see where he lives. Like if she confronts him, she'd be then looking for evidence to confirm what he's saying to her if he continues to lie.
What she needs to say is, Instagram suggested that I friend you, I recognize your face, I followed you, I saw you, you're married, what is that about?
Yeah.
And even if he goes, that's not true, you know, well, look, here's a picture of a wedding day, what's this about? She doesn't need to explain why she's doing detective work other than...
No, but she might need to, you know, she might need the proof. If he lies and says, no, I'm separated, or, you know, she won't take the picture down, but I'm separated and, you know, I'm free to go out with whoever I want.
So what happens then?
She needs to find out where he lives and like, I'll pop over to your house then.
But if he...
Oh, well, someone's suggesting befriend the wife and turn up for tea.
Oh, yeah.
That's the 6-part series on ITV we're into. Yeah, this is like, you know, the amount of hassle.
Yeah.
A few people suggest that perhaps the wife is dead.
I hear. That'd
be a widower.
That's a Channel 4 series.
But I think if that was, that is as well.
Yeah, but if that was the case, God forgive me, this is going to sound really callous, but if that was the case, wouldn't he kind of have told her that? Because,
well, maybe,
you know,
not. You know, maybe it's difficult for him to talk about that because it's kind of a, I don't want to start dating people, but like, you're never going to be able to compete with my dead wife.
Oh,
yeah. Kind of, I mean, again, that's kind of what I said. She doesn't have all the evidence. She doesn't know whether...
We're not helping here at all.
Well, I feel like she's jumping to conclusions, then her choice of action to resolve it is to kind of
tell the wife,
go after this guy like she's Glenn Close. And instead of saying, what's the story here? Just explain to me what's going on. And then he can say, oh, I'm sorry, that's my no longer with this wife.
Yeah.
Okay, so she's to confront him. That's basically what we're saying.
I don't agree with Barbara at all. I think people always deserve all of the information, no matter how hard it is, says one texter. But this person wrote in, do they have all the information, really? They just have what they
know.
What
if the wife knows?
Yeah.
What if she knows? What if this isn't the first time he's done it? Like,
breaking the wife's heart. Are you serious? You're just prolonging the inevitable if you let the wife continue this charade. Let the wife continue this charade?
Yeah.
I think it's his charade.
Yeah.
You should tell the wife you would prefer to know if you were being cheated on. It's all about how you tell them. Someone else says that she should confront him directly.
Yeah, confront him,
I wouldn't tell his wife, but I would tell him that I was going to. But it would be at some stage over the following couple of months. Make him sweat a bit.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that's a good one. But I think we were agreed that she needs to confront him.
I think confronting him,
because she doesn't know the whole picture.
It's implied that she's going to contact the wife, because in confronting him, she has to say, I found your wife's profile. And that implies everything that we're saying. That implies you need to tell me what your relationship status is, and you need to be aware that I probably go and tell your wife later on whenever I feel like it, once I've cooled down or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think that he's the target, not the wife in the first.
Okay, we're agreed on that then. That's good.
Yeah, that'll make him panic and tell some more porkies.
And stop going to Tomangos or wherever you met.
Please do not make judgment on behalf of others. That's the entire point of this slot. She should just move on. No need to blow up. You don't know about others. Well, that is always very true. My wife and I got married over 4 years ago, but we've been together 10 years. She's always been clear that she doesn't want kids, and it was something we've discussed many times. I never wanted children either and couldn't picture myself being a dad. Recently, my brother had his first child, and now I feel differently. I love my niece and just really enjoy spending time with her, and seeing how she's growing is just magical. Aww. We're in our mid-40s, and I know it's completely unfair of me to turn around now and say I've changed my mind, but I have. I love my wife, but now I feel like I'm missing out on a future that I'd never imagined. What should I do?
Yeah, this one's
hard.
It is. Yeah, it's a really hard and sad situation for somebody that you know, who is trying to recapture a moment where they had an opportunity to make decisions that they didn't make, and unfortunately for them as a couple, the time may have passed for that to be an opportunity or a chance, or whatever. I think. It's really complicated, though, because it's kind of like, you know, there's certain things about raising a family that, you know, once you make the decision, you can't unmake the decision. Mm. You can't undecide to have a child just because the teenager that you have is annoying you.
Yeah.
And you can't decide at, like, you know, past a biologically appropriate time to then go back and have a child. So from this point of view, I just think, like, the difficulty is the resentment that might actually, you know, bubble up inside if the conversation isn't kind of had, and that opportunity to discuss. Mm. Because the reality of it is that, you know, deciding to not do something doesn't necessarily mean that it's a concrete, like, no, I'm never doing this. Mm. But it's a decision that you make, and you make these things as a couple.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, the consequence is that as a couple, you have to deal with the consequences. And that's the problem. The problem is that it's the couple is facing this dilemma, not just him, because he's having this kind of late in the day kind of thought about it.
Yeah.
So what does that mean to me? That means, like, unfortunately, like so many people in the world, you get to a certain point in your life where you didn't do something that you could have done.
Yeah.
You have to come to terms with the decision that you made as opposed to
wishing
and thinking that you know because that's because you're always going to have things in your life that you didn't do. Every crossroads has an option to go in this way or that way. You go your way, you know, make peace with the decision that you made, and that's because there are positives to the journeys that you've made with your wife already going this way.
Although I think you're right. I think, well, two things. I think number one, he has to talk to his wife. Like that's the first thing he has to do. Like, communication is vital. He has to share how he's feeling with his wife. I mean, I know it might be uncomfortable. He might feel that he's changing the rules of some game that they kind of set out probably ages ago. So I think he definitely should talk, even if it's going to be a difficult conversation. But I do think there's two things. Number one is that there's always a chance that his wife has had second thoughts and she hasn't verbalized them to him either. That's a possibility, although I think it's remote. I think the other thing is that, you know, I'm not suggesting that he should talk to his wife, because I think that she might in the end give in and say, well, okay, darling, to make you happy, I will have a baby, because I don't think that's likely either.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, there is the issue of her age, although, you know, that's not as much of an issue now as it would have been maybe 10 or 15 years ago. So, you know, it is still possible that she, I would say, could get pregnant, perhaps with some help.
But there is also one other thing that just popped into my head there as I was speaking. It's the fact that he uses a phrase here where he talks about missing out on a future that he never imagined, which is another way of saying that now, with the niece straight in front of him, he is recognizing what, you know, having a child actually is. Which is another way of saying is that back when they were originally having this discussion, he didn't really give it the full thought.
Yeah. That's true.
Kind of like, so.
But the other,
he needs to take responsibility for that. He needs to take responsibility for either being so kind of flippant about making the decision back then, because that's part of it as well. If you didn't give the decision enough thought back then, that's why you're in a situation now.
But
where
the other thing is, and I don't want to appear flippant myself in saying this, but like, you know the way I remember saying this to my own kids like a million times when they were growing up, when they'd say, "Mommy, can we get another kitten or can we get a puppy?" And I'm like, they're a kitten or a puppy for 5 minutes. And then you've got an animal that needs to be looked after nearly 20 years. So, you know, what we want, do we want a dog or a cat? Because the kitten or the puppy bit is only by the way. And it's the same with babies. If he's looking at this little baby who was born relatively recently, like babies are, you know, and they're designed to be that way, to make us all go goo-eyed and like, oh, and love them and mind them and nurture them and all that, and want to have them. But like, you know, he should, if he's having this conversation with his wife, he should try and kind of forward think to when they're being bulshy teenagers.
Yeah, and they're giving you a lip.
Giving you a lip and not doing what you want them to do and, you know, breaking your heart and all that kind of stuff. So he has a lot of thinking and he has a lot of talking to do with his wife. But the bottom line, I suppose, is the thing of having children, ultimately, if he's given it all the thought, is it going to be a deal breaker? And that's the bottom line, you know.
And it is that interesting thing, though. You know, you mentioned the googly googly baby eyes and all that kind of stuff. And you know, holding a child, particularly one that's related to you, you know, there's a chemical reaction that's having. So this guy's feelings are not just like irrational. They're actually biologically, you know,
you're programmed.
Yeah. He's programmed to be feeling that way. So, because I remember, you know, I was quite the same. I would have been like kind of whatever about kids. I like kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd mind kids and I'd go, oh, that's a cute kid. But when I was with my own brother's kids, you know, there was
babies.
A different reaction. I was quite blown away by how intense
visceral it, is,
it was as a reaction to the children. And it's because it is biological and you go, okay, there's a thing pushing you to feel that way. And so maybe, you know, again, it's all about him having to be fair to himself and of the decisions that he's made, fair to his wife, and realize that the journey they're on is together.
The other thing is, he should wait till this niece is about two and go on holidays with his brother and the 2 year old and all the stuff they have to bring and the buggies and all that palaver and trying to go out for dinner and trying to do a million other things. And
and try staying up all night without sleep as well. Exactly. See how you feel then.
And I don't need to be flippant.
Jim suggests to get a cat. That somebody else says that's a wife that just wants the baby, texting in pretending to be her husband. To what end, I wonder? My wife and I had 3 kids while we were aged between 28 and 35. We're now in our mid-40s and I'm completely exhausted. Having a newborn now in my mid-40s would be my idea of hell. Well, indeed, of course it will, because you're exhausted. But this chap hasn't had children, so he's not exhausted yet.
Yeah.
That lad is having a midlife crisis. Tell him to buy a Porsche. It'll be cheaper in the long run.
That's a point.
That is cheaper in the long run.
Yeah.
A lot of thinking, a lot of conversation to have. My husband of 36 years feels that our sex life has become too tame over the past number of years. We recently retired and have a lot more spare time in our hands. He's done up the most irritating bucket list that has started plaguing our lives as he slowly ticks off the ridiculous things he feels he must achieve before he dies. One of the things is to have sex in a restaurant. I don't mean at the table, obviously. In the bathroom of a restaurant. He says he saw it in some steamy early 90s thriller, and it's always been his fantasy. I'm not keen, to say the least, but at the same time, I want to help out and don't want to be a killjoy. My concern is the logistics of it. Where and for how long? The gents or the ladies? What type of restaurant is best for this type of thing? Getting caught would not be sexy. Should I just back out? Any advice appreciated?
Oh, God. I have questions. My first question is the bucket list. Is the bucket list all relating to sexual experimentation, or is it like I want to go and see India and Northern Lights and all the rest of it?
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
We say it's a general kind of a bucket list. Okay. The second thing is that he wants to have sex in a public bathroom, and I don't care whether it's in a restaurant or a 5-star hotel. A public bathroom is a public bathroom, and the idea to me of having sex in a public bathroom is gross. So it's not about the logistics. It's just about the fact that you will be in a loo cubicle. And she will probably literally be banged up against the wall.
But like, depends where you go. If he brings her to a five-star, you know, five-star restaurant, Michelin star restaurant. That's a quality Jack's you're talking about. Yeah, that's going to be
maybe
you can eat your dinner off the floor. Not quite, but close enough.
No, it's the toilet.
Yeah.
A toilet? No, it's a toilet. I'm sorry. No, there's nothing sexy about that. Nothing at all. So I would definitely put my foot down and tell him to, you know, take a hike, that that ain't happening. I mean, I don't know if it is the... I mean, I know she said he saw it in an early 90s thriller. But is it the... actual, the toilet thing, which would really worry me, or is it the excitement and the danger of potentially getting caught?
Oh, yeah.
That's making him excited. Well, then I'd suggest go and get your car and go somewhere. I don't know. You know, one of these
go
car
dogging.
Parks. Well, of course, that's where people look at you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. There was what was the movie? I think Amy Adams was in it.
Oh, geez.
And they were all like, gangsters or kind of con people. There was a scene in that where they're in a nightclub and they have sex in a toilet. But it was more kind of like, we just can't wait. So, you know.
But it's a toilet.
Where's the nearest
place?
I think, but if you can't wait, you're not going to go, let me see. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, but they're going to go, let me see. That's why she's writing to us. Like, which restaurant? Where are we going to go?
If he did a recce. I mean, if he like did you know,
do you
and
know
then
what?
Used his phone, took photographs of nice toilets.
Sometimes being the only woman in here is really difficult. It's a toilet.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, a toilet is for one thing and one thing only.
And the thing in the film wasn't really a toilet. That was like,
it was
a
set.
Film set with like a mirror and a
And also,
and a
at their age, they've been married for 36 years. They're probably in their 60s. Do you know what I mean? They've got to be careful of their backs and stuff like that.
Hmm.
That kind of messing around, maybe when you're, you know, willing to have sex down an alley or something as well. Like, no.
Down
not
an alley, tell us more.
If I was going to a Michelin star restaurant, it would really spoil my special evening to catch some outlaws in the toilet having sex.
Exactly.
But obviously, there's locks on.
With his unwilling. Yeah, that wouldn't be very good. Look, I think the reality of it is that the thing about fantasies and the thing about dreams is that some of them just never get realised.
And they shouldn't ever get realised. They should stay
in
their
head. But the best thing about, you know, knowing somebody's is that what she should do is lead them up the garden path.
To the outside toilet.
And then crush them.
Like, edge them.
Like what?
Make them think it's about to happen, but for some reason, it can't happen. Do you know what I mean?
But he's so excited. Like, is it about having sex in the toilet or about having sex in a public place?
It's just, let's say,
then go upstairs to the toilet and have sex in the bathroom, in your own bathroom. But like, if it's public place, well, go and get your car and park it somewhere and have sex. Even then, though, mind your back. You know, because you could do yourself an injury at their
and the
age.
Clutch.
Farting around. Yeah, exactly.
Or the handbrake.
Yeah.
Somebody
yeah.
says McDonald's. You don't even need to order anything.
Oh, God. I mean, that whole idea is making me feel...
Just make sure there's a blue light.
Or go to a beach or a forest or somewhere. I could understand that.
But that wasn't
That'd
the scene.
That'd be romantic.
In the, obviously, this movie thing, had, this scene in the movie had a
it's
big effect on
it. Your fantasy,
it's
Barbara.
A toilet.
Somebody else's.
It's a toilet.
It's somebody who watched Fatal Attraction or something, you know.
Something like that,
back in the 80s. Yeah. And it was
That's
just,
no excuse.
And it's a lot of like
You don't
black
have to act out everything you see in a movie.
And no, indeed. Mirrors.
No, it's a toilet. I'm sorry, I wouldn't do that. And I think your woman, she shouldn't do that either. Unless she really wants to do it, she should say no. You know, his.
But she seems kind of game for it. You know, she
would all the time.
Totally.
But I mean, what kind of stupid questions is where and for how long? The gents and the ladies, what kind of restaurant is the best for this kind of thing? Restaurants on their websites don't tend to have a note that says suitable for having sex with your owl fella in the bathroom if you want.
Well, maybe, and this is probably a terrible suggestion, if they're like the disabled toilet, they tend to be bigger.
No.
There's handles.
You get cancelled
for There's
that.
Rails to hold on
good.
To.
Well, if you're a car coming out, obviously, and there's an actual disabled person.
And all the people
outside,
are trying to use
good.
It to do cocaine, Olivia.
Yeah, I know, That's the thing, your arse would be covered in cocaine.
You're like,
They could rent a wheelchair, though, and do that.
I know, Barbara.
But it's still the bathroom. No, that's not fair. It's still a bathroom.
No, that is sick. I think a lot of people draw the line there.
I'm sick, right. He's sick.
I think the movie is unfaithful and the scene is very hot. But as Barbara says, it's still a toilet.
It's a toilet. Is that from a woman?
Because you can't smell.
I don't know. There's no name there.
The film. Yeah. You can't smell the smells.
That's
true. Exactly. No, it, no.
It's toilet. Easy to have a fantasy.
No. So you're just both saying no.
No.
A hard no.
No, a hard
I'm saying that she should let on that she's going to do it, but just not do it ever.
How do you do that?
You just go, we'll do it tonight. Oh, I don't feel like doing it tonight. Oh, my back. You just keep putting it off so that he thinks it's coming. It's going to ramp him up. He'll get excited.
Oh, and then
all you
go
need,
home
could you imagine being in the restaurant?
Oh, yet,
if
love
you do,
that.
If she does
Oh,
decide.
No. And then he winks at her and he goes off to the toilet and he's waiting. And then
she
comes out again and she's tucked into the second course.
Oh, we'll do it again next time.
Oh,
well,
no.
You know what? She'll have a list of all these restaurants all that she wants imagine? To go to.
Yeah. Could you imagine being in the middle
genius.
Of...
It's genius.
At what stage in the meal? In between courses, or should I say intercourse?
Very good. I wish I'd thought of that. So very good. Fool a boss.
Okay. One last quick one.
Okay.
Given that what we just talked about. I've been dating my new boyfriend for about 4 months. Things are going great. I've started introducing him to my family. However, there's one thing which is both a gift and a drawback. As a well-endowed man, he often pronounces himself unintentionally through his clothing, especially if they are too tight. This can be awkward when we meet friends or family, as it can be really noticeable and distracting. He is, of course, aware of his situation and tries to dress appropriately. But sometimes things get away from him. He is mad into the cycling, and the sportswear associated with this is particularly unforgiving. I can sometimes see my friends sniggering quietly when we're out in a group. I get so embarrassed about it because I'm quite a shy woman, and the idea of my friends and family, my parents, seeing this is mortifying to me. How do I address this with them, or should I just leave it?
Here you go.
This is what we call in the industry a humble brag, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't it just? Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I'm like rooting for the problem here, and it just sounds like...
Sorry, you think she's bragging about the size of his Mickey?
Well, that's what, yeah.
Well, yeah, well, what, yeah, what a problem.
It's such a man thing to say.
But what she's saying I don't is think that she's... everybody's looking at it, and it's like, whatever, get over it. Who cares?
I think she should get him to wear a skirt. Do you know, like if he's going to cycling instead of his tight lycra, the GAA must have loads of them left over. And he could wear a skirt and that would hide his bits and wouldn't offend anybody.
But does she really think her parents are looking at her boyfriend's Nicky? His mother staring at her going, oh my God, will you put that thing away?
We've never had anything like that in the family.
No?
What'll the kids look like?
Yeah. Oh my God. So you think she wrote in just to tell us her boyfriend has a big yoke?
Mate, she's got a fixation. She needs to just not think about it.
I think she's seeing it. That's the thing. You know when you kind of notice something and then you can't unnotice it? So she's the one who's noticing it.
Oh God almighty. I don't know. I just think, so what? Although I would imagine if you were well endowed like that, that wearing loose pants would be more comfortable.
Now, I would have thought so, yeah.
I don't know.
Personally, it's like, I think
to have all your bits
structure
squashed.
Of support, you know, it's just support. It depends on what you're doing. You might need a little bit of like containment and support when you're on the bike, whatever. So you're not, you know, every time.
Yeah, but if he's going out.
Every time you go over the handlebar, you're not creating the scenario.
Okay, people can't see what you're doing now.
Swinging
backwards
and
forwards.
Hypnotizing people. Well, I would imagine like don't wear your cycling shorts when you're meeting his parents.
No, obviously
a
not.
Pretty
but
basic
if
one.
If she, you know, well, I would have just thought, I take your point. I don't know, obviously. I would have thought wearing looser trousers might be more comfortable than having all your bits kind of banged up against your leg.
It's like telling him what to wear because what his body like is, you know, if that was on the other foot, if you will, you know, sorry now, if we were telling her to not wear clothes because her boobs are too big or something like that, you'd be offended. So the reality of it is that it's his body is whatever the way it is. That's what God gave him. And she just needs to like kind of learn how to deal with it.
So what? Like, yes.
But you can, sure, you know the way, like, you might be going out and a woman will say to a man, are you wearing that shirt that way?
Yes.
And she can say to him, are you wearing those incredibly tight trousers where everyone can see your penis because we're going to see my parents? Isn't that a particularly
I would have thought that would have been perfectly acceptable. Yeah. I do take Declan's point, though, that if the roles were reversed and he said, are you wearing that blouse where my parents can see your nipples or your, you know, your boobs,
yeah.
you do not put on something more,
yeah.
that you'd have a problem. So I don't know. I mean, I think everybody get over yourselves. I don't think anybody's going to be, I mean, okay, there's probably a couple of like
people
sniggers.
Aren't looking at what you think they are and people aren't laughing at what they think. They're laughing at your hair.
Well, that's what you should do. Do something mad with your hair.
Somebody says, was Declan's explainer there a very subtle humble brag? Oh, God, he's blushing. Inevitably, a load of texts from people saying along the lines of, I can't believe my girlfriend texted in. I'm so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much. You are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We'll take a break back in a couple of minutes.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.